Accession number 20617, Reel 2.
Well, Big Lend, Reel 2.
Well, I got to lying in bed the next morning. I'm just lying there saying to myself, well, I'll be here for about 7 days and I'll go back to the rejoining unit. But while I was there, somebody came and shouted, any money for the evacuation? Well, I just laid there. And a nurse came up from the quams and an orderly, say, so I had a tag for evacuation. I was embarrassed. I said, I haven't been wounded. I only had blood poison. So you've had surgery. Any walking, I'd get evacuated. Goes down to the beach again in a truck, onto a tank landing craft and back to Southampton. Gets to Southampton on a train. It was a night train. Well, the next thing I woke up and looked out the window, oh, crew. Oh, I might be going to Liverpool. Next thing I woke up again, Broad Green Station. Lovely. Pulled up then, we all got out. Oh, Broad Green Hospital. Get on a bus, or coaches they were. Took me to Winnick. When I found out Winnick was a mental hospital. But when I found out it was half was taken over as an emergency army hospital.
Is Winnick in Liverpool?
It's outside Warrington. I was there for 4 weeks, just for blood poison.
What treatment were you getting?
Nothing, only just dressing on there. My hand was in a sling, I wore those horrible blue, hospital blue. They don't use them now. You're not allowed to go into a pub, but I lived in a pub. But I came home and as soon as I got home, I put some civvies on, unofficially like. I was home for a weekend. Then went back to the hospital, living nearly a month. And then to discharge and was sent to the only commando at Wrexham, expecting to go back to France again. But I was there for a couple of weeks. Then I found out that the unit was coming back to England to train for the Far East. So when we found out coming back, I was sent down to Petworth. And they came back to Petworth in the September, I think it was. And I rejoined them then in September, back in A Troop. And that's another sad thing we had to do. Some of the kids belonging to the men who were killed had to be sorted out. The personal stuff had to be collected and bagged up. And all the kit was more or less auctioned off to the service kit, like towels and shirts, to the troop and everybody wanted extra stuff. The money went to the PRI funds, but the personal things went back to the next of kin. It was very sad to get all the men's kit.
This was at Petworth?
At Petworth, and we got re-kitted out and reinforcements.
Had you gone back to A Troop?
So went back to A Troop, oh yes.
What happened then?
We'd done more training for the Far East, jungle warfare, and then we went to Bexhill in civvy billets again. Issued that with jungle green uniforms. And then Christmas time, 1944. We got leave, expecting to go to the Far East when we come back. We were sent back to Holland the 12th of January, I think it was, 45. We went from Tilbury to Ostend, and then we got on the train to Emsdorf in Holland, and then we got trucked down to a place called Venray. And we stayed there for a few days, and we moved on to the Mars, the banks of the Mars. And while we were there, we decided we were going to capture the town of Linney. And we went to a place called Echt first, the night before, because the I'm thinking army unit took over from us, from our positions on the banks of the Mars. And we moved from Echt the next morning to capture this town, Linney. Moved along the road towards Linney, along the Juliana Canal. And we come on the HM come under fire when we got to the crossroads. Oh, before that, the officer in charge of our section, we were the leading section, was Lieutenant Thomas of the South African Defence Force. He was seconded to the Royal Marine. He said he heard a sound coming from the back of some buildings, and we went round, instead of keeping on the road, we went round the back and come out again. And as we come out, we saw nobody, but I was in a Bren group at the time then, they were carrying a Bren gun. And Neil Patrick, the other Bren gunner, he said to me, "I'll carry your Bren." So I'd carried it since half past 6 the next morning. Give him the Bren. And as we come onto the road again, we come under fire. Well, there was a ditch on the side of the road. I went down the ditch, but it made no difference. So half my body was above on the road. But Neil, he ran forward, put the Bren on the gatepost and opened fire, and we went behind him. And we went in some empty houses. One house was on fire, we went in there. Number two section had been caught in the open. And this was where Corporal Arden won his Victoria Cross. While I was in the house, the sergeant said to me, "You stay at the back, can supervise there and anything." And I saw three persons coming out in the open can. Well, far out later, it was Corporal Harden and two Marines. And Corporal Harden had won the Victoria Cross. He got shot coming back, taking two wounded. He brought in an officer, Lieutenant Corey, and Marine Wales. Well, Marine Wales died in the HQ. Well, we were pinned down then, because we were getting mortared all round. Told not to open fire, just observe, because the railway station, we could see the railway station. Until about a past 10, a jeep came down with the Red Cross. We had a couple of wounded from another section. It wasn't our section of wounded. They took them back. And we had to stay there till 5 o'clock at night. And we got back at the houses again. And the sergeant said, "Line up." And we picked up all the equipment that other men had dropped down who had been wounded from the other sections. It was getting dusk then at 5 o'clock. And when I got back to HQ section, we were told that Corporal Arden had been killed and Marine Wales.
How much of the incident did you see personally?
Well, only the three. So I told the sergeant, the NCO in charge, I said, "There's three movements out there," and we checked up that it was our own blokes. I reckon it was Corporal Harding who went out.
And where was that?
At a place called Brechterbeek, just outside the town of Linney, L-I-N-N-E, in Holland.
So you were saying about being given orders to capture Linney?
Linney. Well, the next day we went forward again and we moved into the town. Germans had moved out and we went into the railway station. A troop went into the railway station. There was a family there. I think there was two young daughters and a mother and father. They were living in the railway station. And we stayed there for a few weeks, but while I was there, we had a little cops, used to call it the icebox. You had to go out at dusk, we had to more or less crawl out to it and set up a position, observing. And we come back the next morning. One morning I went out on a Thursday evening, I went outside about 5 o'clock, and a Marine came up to me and said, "I'm come to relieve you, you're going back into HQ." I said, "What for?" "I don't know, do you want to see an HQ?" So I went back, went to HQ, and he said to me, "You're going to Brussels tomorrow for the weekend." "You've been picked to go to Brussels for the weekend." Well, I stayed at midnight in HQ, I think it was a one building we had. And the next morning, Friday, I went to Brussels with a few of the lads who had been picked for the weekend.
What did you do?
Well, we went to a hotel, we just, went to different shows there in Brussels. Well, it was lovely in Brussels.
What kind of shows were they putting on there?
Answer shows like that. And we went to pictures as well. Walk around the town, because the town hadn't been touched. We stayed at this hotel, Hotel de Colonies it was called. Waited on every hand and foot.
What kind of ENSA shows were being put on?
Well, I went to one, I just didn't know, there was nothing very special down there.
What was the attitude of people in Brussels towards you?
Actually, never spoke to any of them really. Only went in I went in a cake shop or a sweet shop, and that's all. Nice at all, but never bothered.
And this place that you attacked, Lily, how do you spell it?
L-I-N-N-E, Lily. Well, when Brussels had come back on a Sunday night, and went back into the Lily, and then we stayed there for a while, and then we moved back to Venray again, ready to train after crossing the Rhine.
What were you training on?
Buffaloes, the tanks with no innards and all. And getting the instructions what we were captured. Vesel, that was a town. And we crossed the Rhine just north and moved along the tape. Six commander had laid the tape and we just followed the tape along into Vesel. We went into a factory which made bathroom equipment like toilets and bathroom sinks. And we went right through there and to the other end of the building and we set up positions. And that's where I saw the 17th American Airborne come down, because in front of us, they were going to capture another position. And we stayed there for a few days, and we moved out again.
What was the German resistance like at the crossing of the Rhine?
Well, really, when we crossed the Rhine, it was known where we were, but when we got into the town and through the wind, it was very tough resistance you're putting up.
Was it street fighting?
Not there. We went through this factory and we get to the, I remember going to the end and I was told to stay where I was at the Brengon. And at the gate went another road. And while I was there, a German Porsche cycling on his bike past me. And that's when a corporal came up to me and he said, one of your mates has been killed, Kenny Hord from Wallasey. What had happened? He'd gone forward with patrol and he got into this railway wagon, the better view. But the German had this machine gun and went straight to the railway wagon. If he'd have stayed on the ground, he wouldn't have.
What do you remember next?
Well, we moved forward and the armour was moving so fast and we had no transport other than jeeps, no good. And they decided to give us troop carriers because they were about 10 miles ahead, the armour, and we were just marching after we did our job. Because we had to do one job and then the armour came through us. And then they had to give us troop carriers to catch up with the rest of the armour. And used to take us down and went on to... I've got the Snowdia 45 commander there. I'm trying to think where it went after the Rhine. I'm trying to think of the name of the village you went through.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway, that'll be in the book. But what was the attitude of German civilians towards you as you went through?
We were very subdued, they didn't want to know them. We went right through. When we left the Rhine, we crossed the next river, was the...
Hems?
Oh, the right. Oh, the next one.
Weser?
The Weser, the Elbe. The Weser was the next one, I think. We crossed the Weser, Then we carried on to we captured Luneburg, and then we captured Osnabrück, crossing the Aller. Well, fighting in the Aller Woods, that was very frightening, I think.
What was frightening?
Fighting in the woods, wood clearing. I remember going in the old tube and extended line, going through these woods, and I'm going through under fire. And I was saying to myself, what's the officer give us permission to get down? Because you had to wait until he blew his whistle to come under effective fire. But the two men either side of me went down. I was saying, come on. Next minute he blew his whistle and we went down to ground and we got position. But there's no cover. You had to just get an open fire in the woods. It was a frightening experience, that one. That's why I was glad we never went out to the Middle East. The war had finished by the time then.
The Far East?
Yeah, Far East, jungle warfare. And then we went through the woods, cleared the woods off, and then...
Were the Germans putting up much resistance?
Oh, they were putting a lot of resistance at the time, to the woods mainly. And when we got to the other end of the woods, we put our positions, like two brand guns. And I was observing, I saw a patrol, German patrol coming out another part of the woods, so we opened up. Next thing, they ran back. But the next morning, we went that way, and the three had been, we'd caught three of them, had been killed. And we carried on to our next objective, through the woods again.
And then?
And then that was the other one. Then we crossed the last river was we captured Osnabrück. We went through in Osnabrück about half past 2 in the morning, and the last train had left Osnabrück for Berlin at 11:15. I said we should have been there, we would have got on it. But we captured Osnabrück, very little resistance in Osnabrück. And we stayed there for a while, and we carried on to crossing the Elbe.
Was it easy to cross?
Oh, the Elbe, or the last river was easy. We went across, the bridge had been blown, and we went across the bridge. We just clattered, made more noise than anything going across. And then, that was the night before. And the next morning, the tanks come across, and we ran towards to meet them. And this tank commander pulled up. He said to me, where have you come from? I said, we've been here all night. She said, nobody told me. She said, just about information that got out, no information at all. This was 10 o'clock in the morning, and we've been there practically all night. Or another instance on the river bank. We went down, come under fire, mortars, went down on the bank, and there's a chap alongside me, another chap, and this other chap, not this one, said, as he went down, this chap laid on his book's rifle. He said, get off my rifle. And he just rolled over. He'd been shot. He's dead, actually. I was here, and this bloke had rolled over. And the other bloke said, get off my rifle. And he'd been shot. Very frightening it was. And then, next minute, a mortar bomb hit the top of a tree. A Ferry Harris, dead of cakes, my mate, came along, all his smock was ripped with shrapnel and bits of twigs off the tree. It wasn't ruined or anything like that, but ripped all his uniform just at the top of the tree. It was great big trees.
What was his name?
Freddie Harris. I remember because he came running up towards where I was. All his smock had been caught with the twigs off the branch of the trees. But he didn't get no injuries at all. And then we laid in and we moved forward again.
So you were taking fatal casualties right up to the end?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. When we crossed the Elbe, the last person to be killed was Sergeant Wilson. Well, I remember going down this path, and at the same time, a German Air Force had parachuted out of his plane. And when we got to the end of the little lane, we informed that Sergeant Wilson had been killed, and this Sergeant Major of the German Air Force had died, and he was the last two to die, as far as the commando. Sergeant Wilson was the last man to be killed.
How was he killed?
He wasn't in our troop, he was another troop. He went out to a machine gun post and got killed in there. And at the same time, this German Sergeant Major parachute failed to open, and we were both buried same together, more or less. And after that, there's no more. Nobody else got killed after that. We moved to a place called Wangelau. That was the last village we captured. And then we moved up to Neustadt. And when we got to Neustadt, there was a concentration camp there. But we didn't go in it. But there were some barges in the harbour. There's bodies on board, one of the concentration camps. And Germans ordered us to unload them. They're going to dump them in the sea. We come to unload them and bury them. And there's also some displaced persons alive on the barges being taken.
How had they died?
They died in the concentration camps, more probably, I guessed. I didn't actually see them, but the commanding officer, he ordered the Germans to unload the bodies and bury them. And we moved into some billets, empty houses there for a while, and then on the 8th of May, VJ Day, we moved into a place called Eutin. E-U-T-I-N, Eutin. A lovely town. It hadn't been touched by the war. It was all hospitals and everything. And we were there until we were moved back to England.
What kind of a life were you living at Eutin?
Oh, that is lovely, really. I know on the day after, when they had the VE day after, I was on guard. We didn't even have a drink between us. I was on guard usually at the town hall. And we found a little place. We opened a canteen up. We got some beer in a couple of days later. And I got a good man running after this bar we had, the troop did.
Did you see anything of Russians?
No, not at all.
What was the attitude of Germans in Eutin?
I never spoke to many of them, but mainly the officers. They got well-disciplined, especially the troops, because under their own officers. Any German prisoners, you're just sent to the woods, and they're under their own officers, and they cause no trouble at all.
How long were you in Germany for after VE Day?
Oh, let me can I look at the book?
Well, no, just roughly.
July, August. I think it's at the end of July it was. We came back in August, going to the Far East again. We got on trucks and brought us all the way back to Ostend. And then we come back and we moved into, Hampden Park. I mentioned Civvy Billets again. Hampden Park. That's outside Eastbourne. And we're training for the Far East.
How did you feel about going to the Far East?
Well, at the time, I didn't fancy going in the jungle. We had these rumours going out to India to invade Burma. That was a rumour going around at the time. But wasn't I glad when the bomb dropped on Nagasaki and we weren't going up there.
So what happened to you then?
Well, we carried on training and decided I was 50 group, ready to come out in 46. So just before I found out they were going to Hong Kong, the commando, in 46. So just before November, they asked for emergency volunteers, MVOL, we call them MVOLs. So I said I'll volunteer. So I volunteered alongside another 50 of us. I think about 50 had signed on to the end of the emergency. So, in January, end of January, we moved to Chatham. Oh, just the nurse incident, there's three lads there. I said, "And you signed on?" "Oh, no, we're going out next year, because it's 50 group June." So, I've signed on. So, I said goodbye to these three. Went to Tilbury, got on an aircraft carrier, the HMS Raja. Oh, no aircraft on. The deck cargo was all our lorries and trucks. There was the old commando was on, and there was another 1,000 reinforcements, naval and everything, went out to Hong Kong on the in January. Right, we went right to, we arrived in Hong Kong about 6 weeks later, through the Suez Canal. And we get to Singapore, we got a day's leave to go ashore. Then I was thrown out the Raffles Hotel. But when we went there, I was looking for the Raffles Club actually, but we went to the Raffles Hotel and the dormer said, "Oh, you want the Raffles Club," he said. So they all said I was thrown out the Raffles Hotel, Singapore. So the next day I went back on board and went up to Hong Kong.
What was it like there?
Oh, I enjoyed myself there. We went on the front, we were on the frontier for a while, anti-smuggling patrols and things like that. And while I was in Hong Kong for about 6 weeks, I was told to go down the docks with another chap, Johnny Poole. He signed on with me, he's a Londoner. Went down the docks, his reinforcements coming from England, you know, for the troop. The first heat down the gangplank were these three chaps who said they weren't signing on. And I said to him, "What's..." And they laughed their heads off. He said, you volunteer too quick. I said, "Why?" He said, "They offered us £25 for signing on and £25 a year for 2 or 3 years. I said, "I don't believe you." So we went, Johnny Poole and I, went, when we were back to camp, we went to the discipline office, or the order room, and asked for the fleet orders. And there it was. Anybody wanted to sign on, £25 down, £25 a year, either 2 years or 3 years. Well, we were peeved. So when we pulled the offer, well, our two commander of Captain Parsons, we just pulled them up and we asked to tell them. He said, "You volunteered too quick." But I never regretted it. I stayed in Hong Kong for 12 months and I'd done 2 months duty in the detention barracks.
At where?
The detention barracks in Hong Kong. I'd done three hours of staff on the detention barracks.
What was it like there?
Oh, you had to double the prisoners. You were in charge, we had to double. Soon you walked in, you doubled everywhere. The sergeant major was an army sergeant major. And he was there for, I think it was 8 weeks on the staff. And that's where I got the idea to join the prison service.
So you had to double along with the prisoners?
When I exercised and anything like that. But so we had a barrack room inside the barracks. They were in the cells, so we had initials in the barracks and we had been there. We enjoyed it.
Why was it so enjoyable in Hong
Kong? Well, because I don't think they'd been touched by the war. No, there's no damage at all. All those Japanese have been there. And the lights were blazing everywhere. And the shops were open. We're on the frontier at a different time, anti-muddling patrols and things like that. And then we were there for 12 months. And we went to Malta then. But I tried to stay in Hong Kong. Incidentally, a mate of mine joined the prison service there. And I'd been on a 3 week anti-pirate patrol on a frigate. And when I come back, he told me he joined the prison service. I said, "Hey, what's this then?" So I saw the fleet orders. Anybody who wanted to take the release in Hong Kong could join the prison service. But I saw him off. I was too late. The papers had to be in a few days before. But he went and joined the prison service. And then said, "Yeah." Saw him off, and he said to him, I said, "Are you all right?" He said, "I have to sign a paper there." It said on the bottom, "Are you willing to carry an execution when called on to do so?" He said it was a bit dubious, but I signed it because the officer, the prison officer said, "We've got a bloke does that regular. His name's Roper, Inspector Roper. He'd been doing this in Shanghai before the war." So he went to, he was a Scots bloke. He had to do there for 2 years as sub-inspector. But he had to learn Chinese within 12 months, a dialect. And we left on, I left Hong Kong with the commander. We came back on the Strathnava to Malta. And 12 months in Malta. just doing training. And I went to, was in Malta, I went to Portside. We took some German prisoners. This was 1945.